Welcome to the Social Work Social Podcast. My name is Melanie Matthews, and I'm a registered social worker, as well as your host for this podcast. The Social Work Social is a place to explore the role of social workers in mental health treatment, social justice and advocacy, and other aspects of community work. But social workers rarely work in isolation, so we'll be talking not just to social workers, but other professionals and people with lived experience to learn about their understanding of mental health and mental health treatment. Before we begin today's episode, I have two disclaimers to make. First, you should be aware that all the information presented in this podcast is specific to Ontario, Canada, unless otherwise specified in the episode. Different professionals follow different rules and restrictions dictated by the regulatory body in their area. The second disclaimer is that nothing in this podcast should be considered medical advice or mental health treatment. Your mental health is unique, so what we talk about in this episode may not be quite right for supporting your mental health in the best way possible. So if you're interested in any of the topics presented here and want to know more about if the treatment options are right for you, be sure to get in contact with a professional directly. Now, let's get started on today's episode. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll know that I was recently involved in writing a collaborative book called The Great Canadian Woman, She is Strong and Free, Volume 3. The book features 14 stories from 14 powerful women, all with diverse experiences, who decided to be vulnerable and share their stories with the world. I am incredibly fortunate that some of these women agreed to share their mental health journey and writing experience in interviews with me. Amy is one of those authors. Amy is an intuitive life coach and evidential medium, as well as a person with lived experience of anxiety. She talks to us about the importance of spirituality in her life and how she uses her work to support other people as well. There's a trigger warning for discussions of grief and loss.
Hi, everybody. My name is Amy Brooks, and I am an intuitive life coach and evidential medium. I have a degree in psychology, and before I stepped into this current work I do, I worked in human resources and community health. I'm a mom of three very sensitive and spirited children, two of which have special needs, and I'm a military spouse. We are currently based out of southeastern Ontario, but I was born and raised on the East Coast.
Amazing. Well, I'm so happy to have you here today, Amy. I'm really excited because I honestly know nothing about the type of work that you do.
Okay.
So can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do?
Sure. So I should preface by saying that I've been doing this for about 2.5 years, and I quite literally feel like I got pushed into it. Not in a bad way, literally as if the universe pushed me into it. So I've always been a spiritual person. I've always been highly intuitive. And looking back, I can see that I've always been on the psychic end of things. And my father passed away, it's 3 years now in January, and with his passing very soon afterwards, I kind of went through a spiritual awakening. And so it just, everything became very apparent. I've messed up there, Melanie, sorry, apparent. And I just kind of like everything clicked and everything made sense. And I just knew very, very clearly that this was what I was meant to do. And so I quite literally did my first reading for my mom, and the next day created my Facebook page announcing that I was a medium to the world, which is very impulsive and spontaneous. But that's how I am when something in my gut feels right. And so, you know, I did it as ethically as I could. So everything was practice-based. I didn't, you know, call myself professional medium. I didn't take money for what I was doing. I was simply practicing my skill. And after about 3 or 4 months of that, I actually had people just start sending me money, and they're like, you're ready. And so that was, you know, I kind of took that as my sign from the universe that I was ready. And I officially launched my business then. So we're talking like mid 2019, and it's been a whirlwind ever since. So to answer your question about what it is I do, so I call myself an evidential psychic medium. And that just means that the information that I channel, whether it be from a living person or one in spirit, is highly evidential. Because when I was a grieving person after I lost my parent and I went to see a medium, I really was looking for the evidence. So it was wonderful to hear, you know, your dad is here and he's proud of you, but I wanted proof. And so I didn't always get it. And so when the spirit world kind of took me under its wing, I shall say, I felt they just kind of provided all that with me. So a lot of my clients will say like, wow, like it's so much, your readings are so different because you give me so much evidence. And I guess that's just because I've asked for it. As of right now, I've just been doing one-on-one readings for the last 2.5 years, but I am moving into creating courses. So I'm in the process of working on a mediumship mentorship course. So that would be anybody that feels called to this type of work. And secondarily, I'm creating an intuitive guidance type coaching program.
Very cool. The first thing that was coming to my mind, as soon as you said that your first reading was with your mom, was, Oh, my mom is going to be so excited to hear this episode because she's really into the idea of mediums as well. She's always felt as though she felt presences. That's something that was very present in my childhood as well, was my mom being very, not spiritual in the sense of religious, but spiritual in the sense of being in touch with things that we couldn't quite explain.
Absolutely.
And so that was so interesting to me that that was the experience you had, was the first reading was with your mom, because I connected so strongly with that. I know you said this whole experience started because you were a grieving person. How is this something that is supportive to people who might be grieving?
So the two readings that I offer, my most common offerings would be mediumship. So that would be connecting to, you know, a loved one in spirit. And then the other would be intuitive guidance. So that would be connecting to that living person. And the things that I channeled, so the common feedback that I receive from both parties, dependent on which reading they got, is very much that they feel seen, validated, encouraged, motivated. I often hear they're sleeping better. They feel like a weight has been lifted off. A lot of the times people will seek a medium because they want validation for things they already know or they're already experiencing and they're questioning. So having a third party, literally a stranger who knows nothing about you, come through and validate very maybe private things or just random things, like the evidence is often quite random, is really just meant to build that confidence that, you know, you're loved and you're supported and you're seen. So it's very validating for a grieving person. Like I said, when I was a grieving person and I went to a medium, although I didn't get everything I was looking for all the time, I very much felt like held and in a safe space. And that I feel is because, you know, the energy of the person. So it's really important in all ways, whenever you're seeking some sort of service with somebody that you're going to work intimately with, you need to be a good fit. And for me, that's all about energy. And really mediumship and intuitive guidance is working with energy. So energy is the language of the spirit world.
Isn't that so interesting? Because I know you're not a licensed therapist in any way. No. You don't provide psychotherapy or any sort of structured mental health treatment, but it's very similar to the same kind of environment that I try to create when I'm with my clients, a validating, supportive environment. We have to be a good fit to work together. We have to be comfortable with each other. And it is about validation and helping people understand things that they already know about themselves. So that's amazing. The parallels are very cool here.
Yeah. And so at the beginning in my introduction, I said, you know, my background, I have a degree in psychology. And that was really my life's plan, was to go on and be a trained therapist. And, you know, life had different plans. And about a year and a half ago, I actually had a client say to me, Amy, have you ever thought about, you know, being a therapist or going back to school and doing psychology? And I said, it's so funny you asked that, because I already have that and I haven't used it. And it's always kind of weighed on me like an unfinished thing. And I said, isn't it so interesting how the universe has just taken me back to a similar type of work, obviously not the same, but really the reason I was drawn to psychology in the first place was in helping and connecting people through their often most challenging times in their life. So in a way, there are a lot of parallels, and I was able to let go of that unfinished business feeling, because I know that's how the universe works. Sometimes you take the long route, the scenic route, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I never actually planned on becoming a social worker either. It's something that just kind of happened. It felt right. And so that's what I did. Can you tell me a bit about your own experience with mental health?
Absolutely. So I have struggled with my mental health since early childhood, you know, because of some childhood traumas. There was some times in my life where I also looking back in hindsight, can see that maybe there was some like OCD type tendencies. But certainly anxiety was a common one throughout my whole childhood and into adulthood. Throughout teenage years, I kind of just put it on the back burner. I also didn't really, I wrote about this in the chapter within the book with you and the Great Canadian Woman. My story is about anxiety. And I talked about how until I was officially diagnosed in my early 20s, I actually didn't even know that what I was experiencing was anxiety. I didn't realize that it was a thing or that other people felt it. I just thought it was me and what I felt like, what life felt like for me. So it was actually very validating to receive that diagnosis. But at the time, I didn't do anything with it because I just was like, it's okay. You know, I've been getting by this long without any help. I'm just going to keep going. And so it wasn't until my mid-20s with an unexpected pregnancy. So I got pregnant. I was in a relationship with my now husband, but we weren't together for very long at the time. I was a new graduate of university. I graduated in May and got pregnant in May. And so it was, you know, I was in a brand new job. It was very unexpected. And we were kind of, my relationship was kind of not in a good place. So recipe for anxiety to resurface. I felt very out of control with what was happening. And then at about 5 months, I was diagnosed with preeclampsia. And so that is the sudden onset of high blood pressure. And so, you know, I couldn't stand for very long. I wasn't able to shower anymore. I had a bath. So I had to do bed rest. And at first that felt really exciting. So I'm like, oh, great. I get to relax and just like binge watch TV all the time. But it gets old fast, I can tell you. And that I felt very alone in that. And just the uncertainty with my own health really caused me to be in a tailspin as well. And then I had a very traumatic labor and delivery. My daughter was born kicking and streaming and didn't stop for the first 2 years. So all in all, I felt very disconnected from myself and very out of control. But yet I still resisted getting any help. My anxiety, it was almost like a safety net because it had been familiar my whole life. And it kind of created this mentality of like me against everybody else. And so when times were tough, I just kind of, you know, I'll handle it. I'll do it. And I just kind of really distance myself from any sort of well-meaning help or advice or guidance. I just felt like I had to do it all on my own, furthering, you know, the anxiety and the, you know, the loneliness that I was feeling during. So it was really interesting because I don't remember what really set this chain of events off or if, you know, what happened or even how long it was. I know it had been over a year, probably a year and a half of suffering with this. And then I literally just one day, now I would say it was a download. That's when what I call when I just kind of get like a revelation or an idea that kind of hits me and it feels like truth. I got this download that was like, it's Amy, you're drowning. Like you need to get help, go talk to your doctor. And I made an appointment right away. And was there, you know, the next day and received a diagnosis of postpartum depression and anxiety. And even talking about it and getting it off my chest, I connected with people. Facebook was kind of just getting started at the time. This was back in the mid-2000s. Connecting with people that way online in different communities and knowing that I wasn't alone, it was actually pretty common, really helped me as well.
I feel like that is quite a taboo subject, the idea of postpartum depression or even having traumatic labor and deliveries, because there's this kind of societal understanding that childbirth and labor and caring for children is something that should come naturally to women. And I dislike anything that comes with a should statement, because women should not be expected to have all the answers when it comes to carrying and raising children. And it is a very unfair societal pressure that's put on mothers, and it would be very, very isolating. And it's amazing that you were able to connect with other women and find out that this is actually a very common response.
Yeah, it was. I often felt like I lived in fight, and I felt like my whole life I've lived in fight and flight mode. And really I was in, you know, fight and flight mode to the extreme during this period. Sometimes I just look back and I'm like, wow, and I did it again two more times. I went on to have two other children. But I really, what I learned through that experience and being proactive about my own mental health and reaching out if I thought I was slipping, all those things, you know, really supported me in the other pregnancies as well. So I didn't suffer with the other two, thank goodness.
Oh, that's amazing to hear that you were able to get that support and it did help such a better experience for your next two children.
Amazing. Yeah. I often come back to this idea of like the village, like when we talk about raising children, you know, I feel like that's in our DNA. Like that's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be helping each other. And the reason it's so overwhelming and the reason we're in this fight or flight mode is because we don't have that. And we're all isolated and distanced and it's taboo. Like you said, we don't talk about it. So it just furthers this distance and we just feel more and more alone and isolated and honestly, shame. It took a long time for me to be able to open up with people other than, you know, the pockets of online communities that I found with like-minded people to even talk about that because I thought that people would judge me, you know, like, oh God, what was going on over there? Or, you know, what kind of mother is she? I really worried about those things because there is so much judgment towards mothers in our current society. So I just felt like I better not speak up, I better not say anything.
It must have been such a huge step for you then to decide to write about this topic in The Great Canadian Woman, She Is Strong and Free.
It was. Sorry to interrupt. It was a huge step, but it's interesting because that wasn't my first chapter. So I don't know if you wrote a different chapter or what your experience was. You just knew right along?
This was my very first experience of writing a chapter in a collaborative book. It just felt right to me. And so I jumped in and did it.
So when I first signed up, I initially was going to write my journey into discovering that I was a medium and perhaps touching on different aspects of my life in which, you know, I felt like the door was opening to me for me to walk through and do this earlier. And I always, you know, I just wasn't ready for whatever reason. And it was a bit about my dad and our challenging relationship, all of these things. And then I had a heart to heart with Shannon, who's one of the ladies at the Great Canadian Woman. And she said, I feel like there's something under here. Like, I almost feel like it's almost as if I was sharing a TED talk, you know, like this is where I was and this is where I am now. And she's like, okay, but like, what does it mean when you say that you're disconnected? What does that mean? And so after some brainstorming, I thought, oh my goodness, it's anxiety. That is the common theme. And so then I totally wrote a whole new chapter. Yeah. That was a very revealing kind of exercise. I'm so glad I did it. But yeah, I challenged myself because when I wrote the first chapter, just kind of like it flew out of me and I was like, wham, bam, I'm done. Like I was done in early January. I'm like, okay, great. That was easy. Next. And then it was like the constant questions or what does this mean or dig deeper. And I could feel myself getting triggered and I'm like, I don't want to go there. Stop pushing me. But I'm so glad they did because they revealed the real essence underneath of what all this meant. And I really feel I often talk about in my work and it seems to be like my work runs totally on word of mouth. So everybody that finds me and ever has found me since the beginning has found me through word of mouth. And I like it that way because I feel like it's like the universe saying, okay, you guys are a good fit. You're meant to be. Maybe you're able to resonate with that too. If, you know, people just randomly find you and it feels really good that you connected. And so one thing that I often talk about is energy. And how something that I've been able to figure out as I've, you know, delved deeper into this work, I do it very often. So I've been able to decipher what is anxious feelings, anxious energy, and what is just like pure energy, like spiritual energy. So something, a really interesting thing, and I certainly haven't taken like done a scientific study or anything on this, but I have created like a little poll among energy sensitive people that either, you know, call themselves intuitive or work in this field. And a common thread between every single one of us is that we've experienced anxiety in our lives. And so that got me thinking about this. And one thing that I was able to realize myself was that energy feels in my body a lot like anxiety. And so before I knew that there was a difference, I feel, although I truly believe that anxiety is a thing, I would never say it isn't. And I still experience anxiety and I always will because it's a part of me. But when you're an energy sensitive person, often just experiencing, you know, the energy of another person, whether they're living or in spirit, we've all like walked into a room and felt the energy, right? It just kind of gives you this feeling in your gut, you know, whether it's good or bad. And oftentimes when we're not setting boundaries with energy, we're just picking up, we're just like a sponge for it. So everywhere we go, we feel that. And if that can feel like anxiety, it feels the exact same to me in my body, then you can see how somebody that is very intuitive and sensitive would maybe be overwhelmed or bombarded with the feeling in their body. And they're just, they're not able to discern what it is. And then it just is a spiral. So I found that a very interesting fact about anxiety and energy. So now when I, you know, before I sit down and do a reading, not all the time, but sometimes I'll get a feeling in my stomach that makes me feel like, oh, maybe I'm anxious. Or I would have thought that before. Mm-hmm. And now I know, no, it's not anxiety. It just means that spirit is really coming on through, very strong. And so, you know, if I didn't know that, I probably would go, I'm sorry, Melanie, I have to cancel our session today. I'm just like not up to it. But now I know, no, it just means her people are around in full force. I feel like sometimes, I don't know if I'd go as far as saying anxiety is a gift, but I feel like there is, I feel almost like, it's almost like as I'm saying this, I'm getting an image in my mind from spirit of like a present to be unwrapped. And we might not think of it that way. But if we're able to kind of peel back the layers of wrapping paper, like what is it really trying to say to you? And if you're able to peel back that layers, perhaps there's an opportunity to learn something about yourself.
That's another really interesting parallel too, because that is often how I kind of speak to my clients about things like anxiety or dissociation in particular. Is your brain is doing things for a reason. It's because it's trying to tell you something or it's trying to protect you. And sometimes it's doing it in kind of a weird way and maybe a kind of unwelcome way because it doesn't feel very good. Yes. But all of it is your brain trying to send you a message and trying to help you. And we just have to find a way to make that work in a way that's a bit more comfortable so that you can receive the message without having to feel in distress all the time.
Absolutely. So different language, but the same sentiment. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so knowing all of this and how the anxiety is sometimes this present to be unwrapped, and it was kind of an anxious feeling to start to go deeper into your chapter, how did it feel for you getting your story of anxiety out on paper, figuratively speaking, because we all type things out on the computer now?
It's funny because when we were in pre-sale mode, I didn't feel any nerves. I was just, I think I used the word elated in another interview. I was just so excited. It was a bucket list item, and I felt accomplished with doing it. And I felt a lot of pride because it's not something I would have done a few years ago. So I'm able, this is a new thing. I'm now able to celebrate my successes. And so I was like, yes, this is awesome. I feel so good about it. And I noticed a lot of the other women were kind of like, oh my God, like they were kind of going through the, like, what did I do phase. And then as soon as pre-sale was over, I thought, it was when we got the manuscript and I went, oh my God, what did I do? And then I had the moment afterwards, once I saw it in paper, I think it was kind of like, did I say everything that I wanted to say? Was I relatable? You know, how does this come across? I even struggled a little bit. I'll be honest. I struggled a little bit with the word that they attached at the beginning of my chapter. So mine was, they said, she is bold. And I was like, is bold a good thing? I wasn't sure, right? And the feedback from everybody else was like, yes, that's somebody who's standing in their power. A bold woman is an amazing thing. And I went, is it, you know, and I just had to like take a moment and work through those feelings. And that's what I do. It's, you know, I should say, like, a lot of people have this idea about spirituality and people that, and I should say not spirituality in religious way. I mean, more of, you know, everything is energy and mediumship and psychic abilities and all this stuff. A lot of people will kind of just practice like love and light and everything's great. We just need to manifest everything and we can just make everything great, you know? And I don't, there's parts of that I believe in, but I feel like we're leaving out a huge valuable chunk And that is what I would call the shadow. I don't know if you use that terminology in your practice or not, but essentially it's just like the things about us in our past and our lives that we have rejected for some reason. They don't fit into who we want to be or who we are now. And so we reject them. We might feel embarrassment, shame, we might judge those parts about us. It could be our mental health. It could be our childhood. It could be a past relationship, whatever it is. But one, and this is the type of thing that comes up a lot in an intuitive guidance type reading, that I'll channel those different things out of a person's energy. And the reason it's coming forward is because I always say I'm channeling their higher self. Their higher self really wants them to, you know, acknowledge this stuff, to unpack it out of their suitcase and face it. It doesn't mean that you have to excuse it. It doesn't mean that you have to forgive it all. It just means that you're at least not trying to bury and run away from it. Because our shadow, if you think of it, our like literal shadow, is always behind us. It's never going anywhere. So how can we use our shadow and use it to help us? And I think that's kind of how I think about all of us authors in this book. We've taken aspects of ourselves that we might categorize as our shadow, and we're using it in a different way, in a positive way. And once you do that, I feel like it doesn't have power over you anymore, because you don't feel shame, embarrassment, or judgment anymore. It's just a part of you. And you're like this, yep. And that part of me is what made me who I am right now. And I can either allow it to hold me back, or I can allow it to propel me forward. And so that's the kind of stuff that comes up in intuitive guidance very often. And those are the types of, you know, when people say, I feel so seen, I feel validated, I feel like I can move forward, it's because of that kind of information. It's really transformative.
I absolutely agree with that too. I think that there is this push to always be positive and always be happy, but all of these emotions that we would frame as negative are important parts of the human experience. Taking grief, for example, you're allowed to grieve. You're allowed to be sad when you lose a person.
Yeah.
An important thing, and we can take that, we can learn from it and carry it forward with us. And
yeah,
that's absolutely it. And I think that is really what we were doing in our chapters as well. We all spoke about very difficult experiences, and we all learned something from it, and we're taking it forward to do something new in our lives. And I think that's so important.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like that's why I felt so called to the experience. You know, and it's funny because I was really new to the Great Canadian Woman in general. Like, I think I just found them on Instagram about a week before I decided to sign up. And, you know, it probably won't surprise you, but it was a card pull. you know, a friend of mine was like offering card pulls on Instagram, and I was like, sure, I'll take one. And the card that she pulled for me was, stop overthinking it. You're already doing it. Follow your true north. And I went, she is strong and free, you know, yeah, the Canadian anthem. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a yes. And so I did it just kind of impulsively, I guess. That's just how I roll. I've learned to work with it. As long as I sit with that feeling, that gut feeling, and it feels right, I just do it. I just jump.
I'm so glad you did. I read your chapter and I thought it was incredibly powerful. If you could sum up your message in just a couple of sentences, what would you want people to take away from this episode today?
That your story is powerful, your pain is purposeful, and that, you know, you're really here. I feel like we're all here to be storytellers. I feel like the world runs on stories. I feel like the more that we share our stories, even when they're scary, and even when we're kind of not sure if we should, but it's just because we're fearful about judgment and all those things, that we should do it anyways. I think if we think about all of our shadow, all of our pain and our trauma as purposeful, as potentially the greatest teachers in our lives, I think the universe literally is like, operates on like on the job training. It's like, okay, like here you go, let's figure it out. I feel like if we thought about it that way, instead of, you know, oh, I failed at this and I haven't done this and I feel shameful about this, I feel like it would just empower so many people. So I'm just encouraging people to own their story, whatever it is, to find community, safe space to share it. And that even if you don't think like your story is valuable, and I kind of have gone through that a little bit myself. Like I said, after I saw the manuscript, I had a little bit of a vulnerability hangover where I'm like, oh my goodness, like, should I have done that? The answer is yes, because you don't know who you're helping. So I hope that that is the takeaway from this episode. And also, you know, anybody that is extremely sensitive or, you know, feel like maybe they're experiencing energy, to just, you know, do as much research as you can about it, being open-minded about it. Seek people that are working in that field to, you know, educate you. And yeah, I really don't want the spirit world to be a fearful experience for anybody. There's so much value in just opening up to the possibilities. Yeah. So as soon as I like really walked through that door myself, life just hasn't been any, it's just like the best ever. My life is just taken a complete 180. And really the only thing that's changed is me and my mindset. I guess that's what I would like to share.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Such a powerful message.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Amy for sharing her experiences and story. Spirituality and the meaning people derive from spiritual practices are an important part of holistic support, so I'm very grateful that Amy was able to speak about how spirituality has impacted her mental health. If you are interested in reading Amy's story, The Great Canadian Woman, She is Strong and Free, Volume 3, will be available to purchase as of August 23rd, 2021. After that date, you'll find a link to purchase in the description box, or you can follow me on Instagram to get all the details there. Thanks for listening to the Social Work Social podcast. By sharing information and stories, we hope that you will gain new knowledge and empathy for those who are different from you. We all have unique experiences with mental health based on our backgrounds, experiences, and how we're impacted by the society we live in. What unites us is that we are all deserving of mental health support that is appropriate for our circumstances, accessible, and feels good. Tune in next Friday for another episode.